Pearl's story from hell, targeted by work bullies. This is One on One. I'm Gloria Moraga. I'm beginning this episode of Communications in the Digital Age with a reading from Targeted by Work Bullies, Stories from Hell. This is from Chapter 8, Pearl's Story. 62% of bullies are bosses. The majority, 63%, operate alone. That is from the 2017 U.S. Workplace Bullying Survey. The new supervisor bully. I begin with this quote. I am mad. I'm always losing things and hiding things, and I never find them. I don't know where I've put them. Paula Alquist Anton. That's from Gaslight. Pearl was a mid-level federal government worker. She was well-respected and popular among staff and managers alike. She was organized, efficient, and smart. Her career wasn't her top priority. She put her husband and children and grandchildren first. She worked hard, went home on time, always did her job, and she tried to stay out of office politics. Pearl became a bully's target when a new manager joined her department. Her bully, Janet, was transferred to California from Arizona. The bullying of most of the staff began shortly after Janet made her first speech to the staff. Janet promised that there would be very few changes for the staff or the way the office was organized. The bully broke that promise the very next day. So that's from my book. I interviewed Pearl on a car ride. We were driving up to the mountains outside of Fresno. Her first story is about the work bully I wrote about in my book. Here's Pearl.
After years working in a position, say 20 years, we got a new service chief from another state. And she came in there like a ball fire. I'm not going to change anything for a few days, she said. For a few weeks or whatever, I'm going to see how everything works and go with that. But immediately she started going in through everybody's office and throwing things away. Just throw this, just everybody's business. And this is people who have been in that job over 20 years. So she would just do little things that irritated everybody. And she had one of the gals in tears at least twice a week. And I thought I was okay. But then she would go clear off the wall. And she said, one day she says, oh, this closet, I want it cleaned out. I'm thinking of putting someone's office in here. It was a closet where we kept all the brochures for the health benefits for the employees, and we had over 900 employees and probably 10 different health insurance plans that they could choose, and she wanted it empty. So I went into the other side of the building and found a little tiny office that had some equipment in it, and I got them to move it out. I moved everything in there. It took me a couple days. I put everything in there, and it was very inconvenient to try to find the brochures when an employee wanted them. The next morning, she marches in there, and she says, what happened? Who took those brochures out of here? And I said, I did. You told me to. I did not, she said. I put them back. And I, having been there so many years, I just dug my heels in. I did not do it. So my supervisor did it. My immediate supervisor, not our chief of the office. She did it. She says, aren't you going to put those back? She wants them back. I said, no. One day we had a vendor fair for the open season for the health benefits. And we always use our conference room in our building, which is clear far away from the main hospital building. It's like on the other side of the grounds. And so she says to me that morning, the health fair was going to start at 10 to 2. The health reps were all coming. At least 10 reps are coming with their brochures. And the room was close, just down the hall from where I was situated. So if they had a question for HR, then they would come down after they talked to the reps. So, and then change enrollment or get new brochures or whatever. So she says to me at 8 o'clock that morning, hey, Pearl, someone wants to use the conference room today. And I told them they could use it. And I said, what? I said, what time? She says 11:30 to 2. And I said, are you kidding, right? She said, no. And I said, seriously? And she said, no, I told them they could use it. And I said, I have all these vendors coming. They know where we're situated. The employees know where we're going to be to come over at, you know, when they can get there in the 4-hour window. So no, I couldn't use it. And you have to book it. You have to register use of the conference room. And I had it down for a long time as what it was for, what I was going to do. Oh no, she said, you have to move. So I went over to the main hospital and found by the pharmacy, there was a little room with a line where people would line up to get their prescriptions. And that's where we set up. The big double doors that would throw in the air, the cold air, and it was in October, and it was cold. It was cold there, but that's what we did. So I had to put notes on all the doors around that where we were, and the vendors had to walk. The health care representatives had to walk clear over to the hospital and find where we were. And we just had little tables for them. A lot of them would bring big tablecloths and signs to put up around their table while they...
Tchotchkes, right?
Oh.
They bring like little trinkets and stuff.
Yeah. They would bring their little goodies, toothbrushes or key fobs or... Anyway, it was horrible. It was horrible. It's like, I couldn't believe it. It's like, so I sat there the whole day with them and didn't go back to the office. And where normally I would go to my desk and work, I just sat there like just devastated, like just like bewildered and like what? I couldn't believe it. It's like, throw us out of there over here just like that on them. And then when I found out what it was used for, I really was upset. It was a holiday party for one of the services that she was friends with the chief. They just inconvenienced everybody, for all the reps, all the employees. Everybody was lost for a party.
Pearl also shared a story about one of her former bosses, who was also once a very good friend.
I worked in a purchasing area in one of my jobs, and every time we had a big order coming up for medical equipment, we would have to put bids up from the three companies in town that supplied us. And one of the times was a big order, and my person in charge said, "Oh, I wish my husband could get this order," because he was a vendor, which was not kosher. And I said quietly, "You shouldn't say that out loud." I mean, you know, not that I was going to do anything, because we were friends. And she was my supervisor. So as time progressed, I could see her kind of shutting me out. She would go in her office and shut the door, which she never did before. And she started smoking. And she never did that. And cussing. And finally it got so bad that I looked for another job. And I really enjoyed that job. I looked for another job and got one right away. And years passed, 3 years or so, and I thought, I mean, this was a woman who I baked her wedding cake, and we went to the coast together, our families, and anyway, I couldn't take it, got another job left, and was trying to get over it, because it just haunted me, like, what happened? What happened to our friendship? I never did anything that I knew of. So, I don't know, 5 years maybe passed, and I walked out of, I was having a mini break outside of the office where I was working, and she was marching down the walkway, and she walked over to me, and she said, "I need to ask for your forgiveness." And I said, "What for?" And she said, "Those years ago, someone had turned her into the inspector general's office for favoritism toward her husband's vendor, her husband's business. And she thought it, and someone told her in one of the front offices that it was I. She did it. She's like, what? I said, and you believe that? I said, you're kidding, right? She says, no. I said, and you believed it? And she says, well, yeah, because it was somebody that had, should know who did it.
Why would they say
and
that?
And I said, well who told you that? Don't I have a right to know who it was? And she said, no, I can't tell you. And I said, why not? I said, they said this all these years ago, and I'll go and talk to them about it. Oh, no, she said. Oh, no, no, it's over. Yeah, it's over. Okay. I left a job that I really liked because of some, what, gossip?
I don't know if this is the right story.
Anyway, it made me a wreck for several years because I just didn't know what happened. And I'm not that kind of person that could just put things away. Like, okay, this is done. Put it in a drawer and shut it. No, it haunted me. And it was just Bull, Blaine Bull. And she never did tell me who it was. And she just said it's one of the one person in one of these three buildings, right? It was like HR, finance, and building management. So it was one of those people. But who knows? And why would they say that? It's so ridiculous.
What did she do to bully you?
She just shut the door to our working relationship, our friendship. Just stopped talking to me unless she had to. Her husband would come in, and one time she was cleaning up a wheelchair, and he said, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Liz should do that. Liz should do that. And she says, no, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay to do this. And I thought, good grief. Anyway, it was like all this sudden a verbal, I guess, abuse from her husband, and very little from her, but still she was not nice. There are so many bullies. One of the girls in the office, one of the girls told her she was trying to make some copies of something, and one of the younger girls said to her, I don't know why you're still working. You're old. Why don't you retire and give somebody else your job? Anyway, she filed EEO and a complaint, and the young girl had to leave, found another job. You're old. They didn't get along. She just harassed her. She harassed the older woman until she finally said something that she could file a complaint against her for age discrimination.
Wow.
And she was a veteran also, which is double bad. The older woman was a female veteran.
Pearl retired after 32 years of service with the federal government. She's enjoying her life, her family, and her friends. Yes, there is life after the bully. I believe in karma. Surviving and being happy is a great way to pay back the bullies. Please buy the book. It's available on Amazon. I'm Gloria Moraga. This is One-on-One. Communications in the Digital Age. See you next time.